Red is one of the dominant colors that we observe during the Christmas season. We find the color of red everywhere, on Christmas bows, on wrapping papers, on the clothes that we buy, and the candy canes that we eat. Unfortunately, it's often the color of our faces as we try to deal with anxiety and anger and stress. How do we survive all of the shopping and parties and in-laws? How do we overcome the hurtful memories of the past? How do we recapture the joy of Christmas? Well, we've got to recognize the things that rob our joy at Christmas. I believe one of the first things that robs our joy is anger. Anger is a feeling of resentment. Anger happens when we say, you know, someone else is getting a nicer gift than I'm getting, or my ex-spouse can afford more expensive gifts than I can give to my children, or I'm upset that I'm spending Christmas alone again this year, or someone else is getting more attention at the Christmas party than I am. And these things make us angry. 2,000 years ago, a king named Herod had to deal with his anger. A baby was born in Bethlehem named Jesus during his reign. And when Herod heard about it, he was disturbed. He was upset, angry, and furious. The Bible says in Matthew 2, when Herod realized he'd been outwitted by the Magi, or the wise men, he was furious. He was angry. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger. Herod was very upset. He was angry. Anger is usually your second emotion. You've heard me say that before. Write that down if you struggle with anger. Anger is usually your second emotion. When you say, I'm angry, that's not the issue. The issue is you must find out your first emotion. And if you can find out the first emotion and nip it in the bud, then your anger will not grow and consume you. What was Herod's first emotion? Said he was furious. His first emotion was jealousy. Somebody was getting more attention than he was. Or maybe it was fear. Who's going to take over my kingdom? What is your first emotion at Christmas? Is it resentment? Is it insecurity? Is it jealousy? Is it frustration? The Bible gives us some help with anger of how it works in our lives if it goes unchecked. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, I want you to look at this because this is a progression as we look at these words of what happens if anger is not brought under control. The first thing is, says what? Get rid of all brawling, bitterness, and rage. Bitterness and rage is internal. That's the thing that builds up inside of you, and then you can't let it out. And when you keep it inside, it usually leads to what? It leads to ulcers and all kinds of medical problems. Anger is when that bitterness comes out. After anger is what? It's brawling. Brawling is an unusual word. It's a word that means you get so upset, you start to weep. You're out of control. Slander is name-calling. I'm the youngest of five. I was very good at that growing up. Because of my brothers would beat on me, sit on me, take advantage of me. Only way I could fight back was not physical dominance because they were bigger than I was. So you just name call. Dummy, stupid, fatso, pick whatever you want. It is anger out of control. And anger, along with every form of malice is any kind of physical abuse. And that's why in so many families today, we see a rise in domestic violence and abuse. Why? Because people, often men, our anger is out of control. And if we don't learn to nip it in the bud, or better yet, realize what is the first emotion that we have that triggers anger and brings it on. Well, what's the solution? Well, the last part of that verse says, be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So we must not let anger rob our joy this Christmas. How do you do it? Extend forgiveness. You go, why? You don't know what they've done to me, but you don't know what you've done to Jesus. And that's why as believers in Christ, if anybody can extend forgiveness, it's got to be us. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven us for when we have wronged him. And if you can't offer forgiveness, your anger will consume you and rob your joy at Christmas. The second thing that robs our joy is stress. Stress is the inability to be in control. to control the outcome. As Pastor Todd shared last week, for many of us, we're stressed out at Christmas because we want everything to be perfect. We want our kids to be perfect. We want the decorations to be perfect. We want the food to be perfect. We want the presents to be perfect. We want everything to be perfect. We want it to be in control. And when we're not, we're stressed out. Or we're stressed out at Christmas because I can't control what my family's going to say to each other. Or I can't control whether my children will like the presents that I bought for them. Or we can't even control when Uncle Harry is going to show up for Christmas dinner, always late. Or I can't control who's going to come with me to the Christmas Eve services. And if we're not careful, these things bring us a lot of stress. Can you imagine the stress 2,000 years ago that young Mary and Joseph had to deal with? There were so many things out of their control. They were traveling alone. Would they be safe? When would the baby arrive? Would it arrive on the way or when they get there? When they get there, will they find lodging while they're in Bethlehem? While they're in Bethlehem, who will watch the family carpentry business while they're away? You see, when we feel out of control, we've got to release the situation to somebody who's in control. I want to repeat that. When you're out of control, you've got to release the situation to someone who is in control, which is who? Almighty God. The Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord and He'll sustain you. Cast your cares on the Lord. He'll sustain you. He'll help you get through it. Don't let stress rob your joy this Christmas. Thirdly, don't let anxiety rob your joy. What's anxiety? It's a fearful expectation of the unknown. We have anxiety or worry because we don't know what will happen. Is somebody going to steal our Christmas decorations this year? Or greater anxiety comes from wives. Will my husband ever put up the Christmas decorations this year? Or what will the weather be like while we're traveling over the holidays? Or will our family Christmas be any different this year? Or you're a student coming home from college and you say, how are my parents going to react to my midterm grades? A college student wrote this letter to her parents. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry to be so long in writing. Unfortunately, all my stationery was destroyed the night our dorm was set on fire by the demonstrators. I'm out of the hospital now, and the doctors say my eyesight should return soon. A wonderful boy named Bill rescued me from the fire and kindly offered to share his little apartment with me until the dorm was rebuilt. He comes from a good family, so you won't be surprised when I tell you that we're going to be married. In fact, since you've always wanted a grandchild, you'll be happy to know that next month you'll be grandparents. At the bottom of the letter, it said this, please disregard what I have written so far. This was an assignment for an English class. However, I did get a D in French and an F in chemistry, and I wrote this letter to make you sure that when you receive this news, you'll have the right perspective. Now, if you're reading that letter as a parent, and that started up in the middle of that, trust me, wouldn't you have a little anxiety? A little fear of the unknown. What has happened to my daughter? 2,000 years ago, the shepherds had to deal with their anxiety. They were watching their sheep just like any other night. Suddenly, an angel showed up. That had caused a little anxiety. The angel said, go to Bethlehem and find a baby being born in a manger. And so they went, not even knowing what they would find. But when they found baby Jesus, their anxiety turned to joy. They had joy at Christmas. How can we find joy this Christmas? Here's the first thing. We must receive the good news by faith. You see, on the night that Jesus was born, the shepherds were just watching their flocks, a rather boring job. Life was normal. Business was as usual. And that's when they began to experience joy. As I said, while they were watching their flocks, every day, same thing. On this particular night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This was a different experience than they had ever seen in their life. And it says they were terrified. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You see, the major mistake we make when it comes to finding joy is that we believe joy is tied to our circumstances. If my circumstance was different, if my situation was different, then I would be happy. And that's why we get upset when we are in a shopping line and we hurry quickly and move and think it's the shortest line, but once we get in the shortest line, it becomes the slowest line. Or we get upset when we get an elevator and the elevator goes up one floor and the person in the back of the crowded elevator is the one that always has to get off first. Or what might upset some of you, never me, is when we're in a hurry driving in the HOV lane, the person in front of us is obeying the speed limit. And we say, if I could just get in another lane, if I could just change my situation, then I'd be happy. That's why people try to find joy changing their circumstances. They'll go on an exotic vacation. They'll change their hairstyle, their hair color. They'll change their clothes. They'll change their career. Some even try to change their spouse. Write this down. Joy is not found in my circumstances. Joy is found in my choices. Joy is not found in my circumstances. Joy is found in my choices. It's found in the decisions that I make every day of my life, either a good choice or a bad choice. And that's why this Christmas, if you want joy, the most important decision you will ever make is to accept God's gift of joy to you, who is Jesus Christ. He said, I bring you good news. How is Jesus good news anyway? Well, it says, I bring you a Savior. Savior is someone that will deliver us from our sins. No matter how good we are, we cannot save ourselves. Bible says in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which literally means he's perfect. We're not. We fall short of his standard of perfection. And if we fall short of his standard, we're in trouble. We can't make it to heaven on a B+. The wages of that disobedience is death. Death is separation from God. That's what hell is. It is separation from God for eternity. The result of our disobedience and our sin, we can never make it to heaven by our own goodness. The wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life through Jesus. That's the good news of Christmas. Jesus is the link between sinful man, that's me, and a holy God. And so if you want joy, accept Jesus to be your Savior and let him wipe away your past and all your wrongs. There's a second part to this that we often miss as Christ followers, and it says he must be your Savior, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. What's it mean for him to be our Lord? That's not a term that we use in our culture. It means he must be in charge. It means he must be the leader. If somebody is a lord, it means they have your complete loyalty and allegiance. You will do whatever they ask you to do. This Christmas, do you want joy? Accept Jesus, the good news, as your Savior to take away your sin. But the tough part is you've got to release control and allow him to lead if you want to have the future that God's designed for you. Which brings us to the second key to finding joy. We must respond with immediate obedience. The Bible says when the angels had left them, meaning the shepherds, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. I want you to circle, let's go to Bethlehem, circle hurried off. That is immediate obedience. You see, how we respond to Jesus, how we respond to things makes all the difference in the world. Do we respond immediately or do we wait? Our response makes the difference. Let me illustrate it. Let's say, guys, you finally get up enough courage to get married, and so you want to get engaged, and so you go pick out the perfect ring. You think of the perfect location. You pick everything, the setting, the time, everything is perfect, and you go there with the one you're going to ask to marry you, and you get down on your knee, and you reach up for her hand, and you open the box with the diamond on it, and you say, will you marry me? And what if she says, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you? Would you have joy? Delayed obedience? Or let's say you're an employer, and you're trying to hire a second level employee, and you go through a whole bunch of resumes, and you finally narrow it down to three or four, and you bring them in for the first interview, you bring them in for the second interview, and finally you pick the one that you want, and this is the one that's going to help take your company to the next level, and it's the top choice, and you bring them in for the third interview, they assume they're the one, and you put out all the benefits and the opportunities before them, and you offer them the job, and they say, I'll let you know in a week, I've got some other offers to consider. You immediately would think, maybe I should have hired the other person. Or let's say somebody calls you and says, hey, would you like to go out to dinner tonight? And you go, well, looks like I don't really have anything else to do, so I might as well go out with you. Would that bring you joy? Or parents, let's say you go home and say to your child, the trash is full, would you please take out the trash now? And they say, Mom, I'll pray about that. That would not bring you joy. When we hear the good news of Jesus, if you want to respond, if you want to find joy, then we need to respond immediately. What has Jesus called you to do that you're afraid to respond to immediately, that you've been putting off, that you've been delaying in your spiritual walk? Maybe God has said, you need to trust me with your finances because 90% with me will go farther than 100% without me. And you go, yeah, I know I should tithe. And, you know, I want to do that next year. Or maybe you have a problem with an addiction and you're saying, I know I need some help, but I'm going to wait a few months. And then if I don't handle this problem, then I'll come clean and I'll get some help. Or maybe you know you need to serve in the church and somebody asks you, but the bottom line is you really don't want to be tied down every week. You like the flexibility. And you say, you know what, let me get back to you on that in a few months. Or you're asked to get involved in a neighborhood group and you say, you know, I really don't want people to know the struggles I'm going through, so I'll think about it later. You see, delayed obedience is disobedience. Don't miss that. When you tell your child to do something and they go, not right now, that's disobedience. And when God asks us to follow him, and when we say, you're my Lord, and he tells us, and we go, not now, that's disobedience. And delayed obedience never brings joy. On the other hand, immediate obedience is energizing. It always brings joy. Would you do this for me? Absolutely, Mom, I'll do it now. What else can I do for you? It's a totally different experience. Do you want to experience joy this Christmas? Receive the good news by faith. Respond with immediate obedience. Thirdly, share your discovery with others. The Bible says when the shepherds had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Can you imagine the talk around the campfire after the shepherds returned from seeing baby Jesus? Everybody that came by, they couldn't help but tell them what they had seen and heard. You see, we get joy by giving joy. If you're a follower of Christ and you have the joy of Jesus Christ, you will get more joy as you open up and share that with others. What are you excited to talk about now that you're a Christian? I'm convicted about what I'm going to share with you next. What do we talk about most of the time when we're Christians? If we're honest, we talk more about the weather, about sports, about fashion, about current world events, about our children, about our workout, about our post on Facebook, than we talk about Jesus Christ. And if 90% of the people in this valley don't go to church, you know what? It's time for us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ to come out of the closet. It's time for us to share the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. If we found the cure to cancer, would we keep it to ourselves? You say, well, of course not. If you found the solution to anxiety and anger and stress, would you keep it to yourself? Of course not. But we do. We have the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. Share the discovery of your Jesus with others. Share with them how he finally has, you found something in life that gives you meaning and purpose and hope. Share Jesus with others. Share the discovery of your church with others. That's why inviting people to the Christmas service next weekend. All of our Christmas services is so important because you have to understand that there's a lot of people that have gone to church once in a while. And for many people, the church is boring, dead, and irrelevant to their life. And we try to do everything we can to do just the opposite, to make this a place where you find meaning and purpose, and we share the Word of God in such a way that you can make it apply to your life. Share the discovery of your church with people this Christmas. How do you find joy? Receive the good news by faith. Respond with immediate obedience. Share your discovery with others. Number four, show the difference at work. The Bible says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You see, the shepherds left their sheep to find Jesus, but then they didn't take off. They returned back to their sheep after they found Jesus, and their lives and jobs had new meaning. I'll bet the sheep even noticed a difference. They said, "These guys look bad." That's bad. Their encounter with Jesus Christ changed their lives forever. You see, what's the deal? They were new people returning to an old job. Don't miss that. They were new people going back to the same job. How has your encounter with Jesus Christ changed your life? Or to ask it a different way on this point, can other people see a difference in you at work? Now that you're a Christ follower, do you have a different attitude? Do you put others' needs ahead of your own, or is it all about you? Do you give more effort now that you're a Christ follower? Do you come in late and leave early? Or do you come in early and leave late and do a little more than's required? Or do you have different values now that you're a Christ follower? Is your attitude climb over everybody else to get the top like everybody else? Or do you say, "I will run my business with integrity whether I win or lose"? How are we different at work? You see, our mission statement at CCV, we exist to win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and send disciples out to impact the world. How are you impacting your world for Jesus? That doesn't mean we have to go across the ocean to impact the world. For most of us on our campuses, impacting our world is not across the ocean. It is across the street or across the block fence or across the hall where we work. See, our world, it's our family. Our world, it's our friends. Our world, it's our neighbors. Our world, it is our co-workers. Please understand, we don't need to change our jobs to find joy. We need to change ourselves. Don't miss that. If you're not finding joy in your job, for most of us, it's not the job. It's us. We need to change the way we look at our jobs. You think your job is boring? Herd sheep every day. But the shepherds came back with a rather boring job, trust me, with new joy and excitement because Jesus had changed their perspective, and no longer were they just out there watching sheep. They had an opportunity to interact with everybody that came by and tell them about the difference that Jesus had made. And so, for most of us, we don't need to change our jobs. We just need to change ourselves. We need to go back this week as a new person with a different attitude and a different effort to the same old job. Do you want to make a difference in your family? Do you want to make a difference in your school? Do you want to make a difference in your workplace? Then be the difference that you want to see. Do you realize that you could be the tipping point where you work and live? A study entitled Minority Rules, Scientists Discover the Tipping Point for the Spread of Ideas, says this. Scientists say that if 10% of people on any topic strongly believe in something, 100% of the time, it becomes the norm for society. I want to repeat that. If 10% of the population on any topic strongly believe in something, 100% of the time, it becomes the norm for society. You see, we often think that we need to get a majority in order to change things, and that is wrong. We just need to get 10% of the people to step up and be sold out. Remember what I said earlier? 90% of the people, almost 90% in this valley, don't go to church. Well, the good news is that means 10% do go. And you say, wait a minute, all it takes is 10% to do the tipping point. Then why is it if we have 10% of the people in this valley going to church, why isn't it impacting the other 90%? Maybe it's because we don't believe in it strongly enough. For many Christians, we're playing church instead of being the church. For many of us, church is optional instead of essential. We want to make a difference, but we don't want to be different. We're afraid to be different. We're afraid to step up. We're afraid to stand out. And instead of experiencing joy as believers at Christmas, we experience more stress. You say, what do you mean? At your workplace, do you say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? Trust me, I've never said Happy Holidays, and I'm not going to say Happy Holidays. If they don't like it, that's too bad, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Do you stay silent about your faith at work so you won't offend others? When your family gets together and all your family are not believers, do you cower to the one person that doesn't like Jesus and they make everybody aware of their feelings? Or do you take the lead in putting Jesus at the center of your celebration? You say, how? Do you even pray on Christmas Day before you eat together as a family? Do you ever sing Silent Night? Do you ever read the Christmas story? Do you do anything as a believer when your family's together to put Jesus at the center of your celebration? See, the greatest evidence of the power of Jesus Christ is not a healing physically. Because if that's the case, Jesus would have spent all of his ministry healing people. The greatest evidence of the power of Jesus Christ is a changed life. This Christmas, the greatest testimony you have is how your life has been changed by Jesus Christ. Would you like to find joy this Christmas? Let's look again at what we shared. Receive the good news by faith. Make Jesus your Savior to remove your past, and make him your Lord to direct your future. Respond with immediate obedience and say, Lord, I'm willing to step up and do whatever you want me to do, and I will do it now. Share your discovery with others. You see, share your story. But before you share your story with your family, your coworkers, you've got to be credible. You've got to have some credibility. And the credibility is, are you any different from anybody else? Because if we're no different from anybody else, why should they listen to our story? But when we live our lives with authenticity and integrity, it gives credibility to our story. And then once you share your story and they can see the difference in you, then they are open to what? To his story. And lastly, show the difference at work. Because I believe it's show and tell. People have got to see the change in us before they're willing to listen to the change in us. It takes both. Now that you've found joy, the question is, how are you going to share it? That's the takeaway. Most all of us on all campuses are believers in Jesus Christ. Now that we've found it, how are you going to share joy this Christmas? Hang with me. How are you going to tell others about Jesus? There's a couple ways. You use Facebook, Instagram, instant message, all that. That's good. Why don't you talk to others about your faith on Facebook? Why don't you invite them to church on Facebook? When you send a Christmas card, have you ever thought about why do you send a Christmas card as a believer that says Happy Holidays? Why? Think about how subtly you can share the message of Jesus Christ just by every card that you get. Make sure it says on it something about Merry Christmas and who Jesus Christ is. Or maybe you would show his love by serving others and you look for opportunities. And that's why as a church on all of our campuses, it's incredible. As we're bringing food boxes to serve others, serve 5,000 families. Or again, greatest time to invite somebody to church is on Christmas Eve. They're open. Take advantage of that. Or maybe you would simply write a letter to someone thanking them for the difference they've made in your life. A few years ago, I shared a story of how our missionaries in Uganda, Stephen and Sarah Sabiala, celebrated Christmas. Each family gets a new set of clothes that they wear to church on Christmas Day. Secondly, that's the one meal during the year they eat all they want. Not every meal. That's the only meal that get to eat all they want. And the third thing is they don't give any gifts to their children. Instead, every person writes a letter to each family member expressing love and appreciation. I shared this 3 or 4 years ago, and a lady walked out a couple weeks ago, and she said, I was there the week you shared that, and I thought it was kind of an unusual idea, but we went home and decided with our family we would try that, no gifts. Everybody would write a letter to everybody, and she said, I want you to know it has become the highlight of our Christmas. How are you going to share joy this Christmas? You know how God shared his joy with us? I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born to you. He's Christ Jesus, your Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. And we enjoy Christmas because of the lights, the excitement, the family, the food, all the things. But remind us that those things will never bring us joy. They'll bring us temporary happiness, but once we have to put it all away and everybody goes home, there's something and still missing unless we release control of our life and our decisions and our situations to you who brings us joy. Help us then to share joy with others. Help us in a real, tangible way to not only talk about Jesus, but at work, may they see Jesus in us. And Lord, I pray on all of our campuses, if we don't know Jesus, we would say today, I want to open my heart to him and receive him by faith and let him begin to guide my life and my future. Then I can have real joy. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.